listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
Welcome to the HRV Hour. The HRV Hour, every first and third Thursday at 7 p.m, repeated throughout the month. Please check Radio Reverb's schedule on the website radioreverb.com for details. Check out our social media pages at Twitter and Instagram at HRV_hour, and you can join our Facebook page at HRV Hour Reverb. If you want to contact us, send us an email at hrvhour@gmail.com. You can listen and subscribe to our famous podcast. Type in HRV Hour at Spotify, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. To listen to the full HRV Hour show, go to the Radio Reverb website Listen Again page. We are supported by the Brighton Rainbow Fund, so the HRV Hour, positively helping to change hearts and minds. Hello.
Good evening, Josh, and hello, listeners.
Yes, hello. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's been we're in December. It's only 2 weeks now till the days start getting longer, so it's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, can't wait. Spring is on its way.
It is, right, yes. Well, that's funny. Nothing deals with you get up coming up at Christmas time these days. I don't know. It's all global warming.
Yes. But I'm going straight into it's not a gardening show, but we're going to talk about gardening. I've not been planted most of my bulbs yet. They're all like disintegrating because it's been too warm, but now it's getting a bit colder now, so I've stopped to plant them. Yeah. Anyway, it's not the gardening show, it's a show about HIV.
Yeah, so these days just been and gone last week.
It was a busy old time, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, for all of us, for Sue and Tony and Josh and Stephen and me, David.
And you, David. And we just have to let our listeners know, thank you for tuning in, but we've just swapped places, we're in the studio and it's just me and David today, so the other guys are busy on other projects, but we've swapped seats, so David's in the
desk
in
and
the
you're
technician
in the hot seat
and the producer seat and I'm sat at the other seats.
All these buttons to press. It's Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah, this is our third attempt to do it. We shouldn't really tell people that, but that's what it is.
No, it's good. No,
it's all about the learning.
It is indeed. It's a journey.
Yeah, I'm fine. It's funny being in a seat that I'm not twiddling with things. Knobs.
Yeah,
and,
Well, you're in the hot seat now, so it's actually when you're focusing on you rather than me that should be pressing buttons probably now. Probably. What should I be pressing? Should we have a song?
Let's get on with the show. What's the first song?
So this song is a remix. It's Slave to the Rhythm, and it's by the lovely voice of Lady Blackbird.
Oh, let's have a listen.
Wow, what a wonderful song. That was Slave to the Rhythm, sung by the lovely Lady Blackbird. She's actually got a lovely voice.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's
remix album that was actually released on World AIDS Day because I saw it on. He was on the news on breakfast telly. Commemorations, but he's people might recognise him from Buggles. He was the guy with permed hair in the what was the first music video Video Kill the Radio Star. Yeah, yes. So he's a music producer, and he's got together with a lot of artists from who had hits in the 1980s.
Thank you, Hollywood, isn't it? Relax on there.
Yeah, so he's got Toya Wilcox singing Relax, which is really strange, actually, and it really slowed it down, and it really does change the song. But nice orchestration and nice production.
But I think he produced the songs that he's singing, though, isn't he?
I think so. I think
Relax was one of his, wasn't he?
So he's worked with the original artists, and he's working with other artists. So I think he's done Iggy Pop's doing one.
I didn't particularly like that one, but that's just me.
Have a listen. So the album is called Echoes, Ancient and
Modern. Yeah. So, welcome back to the HRV Hour, 97.2 FM, DAB Plus, RadioReverb.com. So we've just had World AIDS Day, haven't we? So how was yours, David? What was it like?
It was good. So I didn't go to the candlelight vigil in Brighton this year. I was at the Royal Sussex County Hospital in the brand new £500 million building, the Louisa Martindale building, and I was there with Eileen, that's one of the consultant nurses, at the Lawson Unit, which is our local HIV clinic, and she also works for the Martin Fisher Foundation, and we were just handing out red ribbons, but also we were displaying the portraits from More to Me Than HIV in the main foyer, so there were thousands of people passing through the foyer that day, sort of Friday it was, wasn't it? And yeah, we handed out well over 1,000 red ribbons. People seemed quite shocked that we weren't asking for money, but all we were doing there was just raising awareness, and we had people that were featured in the portraits for More to Me Than HIV actually present, so they could talk about their portraits. The BBC News TV came down and interviewed myself and Alan Spink and Lucy from the Sussex Beacon, who we had on the show recently.
Of course, yeah.
They were there, so Alan was there, and so was Lucy was there sort of with some of her peer mentors that, you know, were very sort of open and to talking with, to members of the public about living with HIV and what the reality of it is like today.
And it's good. It's a great space to have it, actually, because the hospital's amazing, isn't it?
It is,
And it's like a big fire. The fire is amazing. So I have it in the window.
It's a huge space. I mean, it's almost like an aircraft terminal, isn't it? The space. But as I say, you know, we engage with over 1,000 people, you know, just
which is what it's about.
Yeah, and awareness. And it was nice. Just people were actually putting them on. And people you wouldn't think, you know, sort of, you know, little old ladies and youngsters who maybe were, you know, maybe not aware as you'd imagine, but it, you never know.
Well, all this thing helps that kind of awareness, doesn't it? And gets the message. Yeah. I always wonder about people wearing ribbons and how many people wear on the day. And you think,
Well, I think I said on the show last time, I wear it for Advent and up until Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So anyway, I spent the, and I didn't go to the vigil, so I spent the day in a nice, warm hospital building.
Fabulous.
And you were busy,
I did go to the vigil.
Well. You did, yes, yeah.
So I went to the vigil. I'd said some names, which was lovely. It was such a nice event. It's cold, obviously, but that's December for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get wrapped up. There's a nice people there, and just nice, and it was lovely to be there and commemorate that.
Yeah, it's very moving. I mean, because the names that we have in Brighton and Hove is about what, 350 people now.
Yeah.
And every year I think, I've forgotten about that person. I've forgotten about that person. And it's really important, I think, to remember them and to remember the contribution they've made, not only to our community, but to our lives and how they've enriched them and the things that we've learned from how they live their lives. I think it's really important that we have this commemoration on World AIDS Day.
I think so, definitely.
Yeah.
And we have to thank, for, you know, Gary Parge and all the people who took part in getting that set up.
I mean, the volunteers from Lunch Positive were great. I mean, you helped them, didn't you?
Yes.
So Terence Higgins Trust, the Sussex Beacon, they all get involved and helping the council, of course. Obviously, they have to sort of arrange for the park to be sort of set aside and the electrics sort of plugged in for the...
Yeah.
Make sure that, you know, that the... the AIDS Memorial, which is called Tay, has to be polished beforehand, and they have to make sure it's all lit up properly.
Yeah.
So, but it's an event of pride. You know, it's a pride in how we remember the people that we've lost.
And
completely different to the World Zero HIV Stigma Day that we had in July, which is more about the people who are living and looking forward. This is a
commemoration.
Yeah.
And I know the other guy. I know Sue was on. She was on. It's Morning Live, wasn't it?
Yeah. She was on TV as well.
Her story and with Zach, who's the guy who plays the guy in EastEnders. I don't watch EastEnders that much, so I know he's an heterosexual with HIV, isn't he?
His character,
yeah. So he was interviewing them two people who was it getting older with women with HIV.
So
you can still see that on iPlayer, I think. Probably
Sue's a grandmother now, and you know you don't think that a grandmother is HIV positive, but of course HIV affects anybody, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what we got on the show, I'll just.
So we've got all sorts of things on the show. We've got some lovely songs. We've got some stories from people internationally about people who we've lost to AIDS. Because we've done a lot of work with the Terence Higgins Trust, and of course the Terence Higgins Trust takes its name from Terry Higgins.
Yep.
But people might not be so aware of some of the international people that have lent their names to charity, so we will cover that in a moment.
That's really interesting thing to go over.
We've got some great community news.
Yeah, I've got a couple of stories about PrEP, how there's been a study about PrEP, how it's been highly effective, and they want to roll it out so it's more available for the groups that aren't accessing PrEP.
Yeah.
So I've got a story about that. And there's also another story, which about a new research into it, the expansion of the opt-out testing, which is
which
is really important.
Yeah,
apparently doing really well as well in England. So
yeah,
Lots of things happening.
That was on the national news again last week. Elton John spoke to Parliament, didn't he?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
So he actually spoke to the House of Commons to say, you know, to encourage the government to bit, give them a bit of a push to achieve the 2030 targets. of getting to zero AIDS. I mean, this country could achieve that. This country could be the first country that has zero AIDS deaths by 2030, and zero new infections.
Yeah.
But it will take a big effort from communities, from charities, from the NHS, from government. But you know, if that we you know, it's an ambitious target, and some people think that we're not going to achieve it. Elton John was there preceding World AIDS Day last week to encourage it, and he mentioned the opt-out testing that has been done, and about the hundreds of people that have been diagnosed with HIV through that testing, and their lives have effectively been saved and lengthened by getting that the results.
It just shows you that it's an effective thing to do and to keep pushing at it.
Indeed.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have a song.
Yeah, should we have a song?
Yes, why not?
Yeah, I'll stop playing it now and you can tell us what it is.
It is Glitter and Gold by Rebecca Ferguson, which is, it's a lovely song. I just came up with my...
That was Glitter and Gold by Rebecca Ferguson. You are listening to the HIV Hour on RadioReverb.com 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and DAB plus radio.
Well done, David. I'm making David jump because I have to tell you because he's in the hot seat with the producer and I'm like, is that song ready? He's like, leave me alone. So I apologise, David.
I'm trying to press my buttons.
I'm like a backseat driver. That's what
I'm like.
So I apologise because I know it's nerve-wracking. What's up next then, David?
Up next, well, we've got some stories. So this episode, with it just being World AIDS Day, was last Friday. So obviously it's a time of remembrance. And in the UK, we are it's well known that we get a fantastic support from the Terence Higgins Trust. And the Terence Higgins Trust gets its name from Terry Higgins, who was one of the first people to die of AIDS. His friends got together and his legacy to produce the Terence Higgins Trust, which has helped so many people over the years, myself included. But I thought we'd maybe look further afield beyond the UK and look at some other organisations that have been named after people who have died of AIDS. And I found two in America that seem to have done an awful lot of good, similarly to the THT. And the first one I wanted to talk about is Elizabeth Glazer. Now, so some people may remember Starsky and Hutch, a cop drama from the 1970s on American television. And Paul Michael Glazer was one of the actors that played Starsky or Hutch. I forget which is which.
Starsky.
Yeah. All right. Right. Yeah. And
Hutch.
Yeah. So his wife was a novelist, and she acquired HIV through contaminated blood transfusion in 1981. So this is quite early on. And unknowingly, because people didn't really know much about the transmission of HIV, she passed that HIV on to her daughter, Ariel, through breastfeeding.
Right,
and
right.
Her daughter, Ariel, died in 1988. So that's incredibly sad.
That is sad.
But in Ariel's memory and as part of the activism that Elizabeth Glazer wanted to do, and she created the Elizabeth Glazer Foundation. And that did an awful lot to work with paediatric cases, so with working with children, because obviously children are affected just like anybody else. People don't think that children have HIV, but yes, they do. Thankfully, less nowadays because, of course, the success of treatment. If the mother is virally suppressed or undetectable, then she can't pass it on to the infant, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So she's been, you know, Elizabeth. She died at age 47, unfortunately. The work of the foundation carries on, and it's helped over, you know, I think 900,000 people.
Wow! Is that worldwide or just in the US?
Oh, I'm going to have to check on that. But about 34,000 children, I should imagine, is in the US. But I think I did have a look at their website this morning, and yes, they do international work as well.
Right.
Trying to combat poverty and other issues that sort of intersect with HIV.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing that from people's death, you know, that great work is done to sort of raise awareness. And it's sad, but that's what World AIDS Day is about.
That's
how
it can, yeah. That's how it works sometimes, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And the other person that I'd like us to remember is Ryan White. Now, Ryan White lived a very short life. He was born in 1971 and he died in 1990. He was an American teenager from Indiana in the United States. And he was the sort of poster child for children living with HIV. In fact, he was infected through contaminated blood products because he was a haemophiliac, the factor VIII that was contaminated. Because people didn't know how HIV was transmitted. They didn't know it was a blood-borne virus at the time. But, parents at his school tried to get him barred from attending his school, even though he was, no danger to other people. But there was his family sort of fought against that. And his sort of story catapulted him into the national spotlight. So it helped raise awareness of people living with HIV. Again, there's a charity set up in his name. There was a film actually made called The Ryan White Story.
Ah, right.
Never
heard of that.
Yeah, so it's worth checking out on the internet just to learn what other countries and how they've responded to HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, I mean, and then we have the big profile ones like Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor. So, other people have got charities named after them. And obviously, the Elton John Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you mentioned Rock Hudson on the show last time, and of course, it was through Rock Hudson's death that Elizabeth Taylor became sort of emboldened to sort of talk about HIV and the loss that to her community of, especially in the film industry and the music industry or the creative industries. It was sort of being decimated by HIV and AIDS at the time.
And that's why it is important to have these charities and these fundraising things, isn't it? Because and have a name to it sometimes.
So if it was just the David Frey charity, people wouldn't pay much attention.
I don't know,
Elizabeth Taylor. I remember Elizabeth Taylor once had a huge red ribbon. It was like just full of rubies, and it must have been the most expensive red ribbon I've ever seen. And I sort of giggled to myself that she was more aware than other people, but she was making
a lot
point.
Of work. She's amazing.
Amazing work for charity.
It's nice to hear these charities, isn't it? And these other organisations. So I've got a story. I mean, it's not about So it's about PrEP actually, and there's been a study, and the study is by the UK Health Security Agency, and so it's a PrEP impact trial. With the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital NHS Foundation Fund. So the drug which PrEP is a drug which stops HIV affecting the body has proved to be highly effective in a real world preventive treatment. The results of a research on 24,000 people taken across England have been described as reassuring. Thousands of people are already taking PrEP through sexual health clinics. So this is the Terence Higgins Trust again wants easier access to the drug, since many people, including women, do not know it exists.
No, they don't.
It's interesting to see. Yeah, it's again, it's another thing that's...
It's not widely publicised, is it?
Why? Yeah. I don't understand why.
No, it's almost like they haven't got... They say, we'll do this, but we won't tell people about it.
I suppose it takes studies like this, and it takes charities like Terence Higgins Trust
to raise awareness,
or organisations to keep on, and then it kind of seeps into people's subconscious, and it becomes more open and more talked about. I think I don't know what you think about that, but being more as we talk about it more.
The theme for this World AIDS Day was let communities lead, and it's communities. It's talks within communities that get people interested in certain things. If people aren't aware of PrEP, it's not until people start talking to their neighbours or their sort of peers.
Yeah, so the study, it was carried out at 157 sexual health clinics across England between October 17 and July 2020.
Oh, right,
The study found use of PrEP, also known as pre-exposure, I have issues with this,
prophylactics.
Reduce the chances of getting HIV from around 86% when used in everyday life, taking into account inconsistent or incorrect use. Clinical trials suggested that the medication is 99% effective.
Yes, it is. There's more than one way to stop HIV. There's obviously condom use, and that's great for also not getting other sexually transmitted infections. But you have PEP, which is post-exposure prophylactic.
So a lot if you of think different things, exposed, we can tell.
And of course, PrEP as well, pre-exposure. So, you know, you can really sort of, we'll do belt and braces approach, really. You could do all three if you wanted to, and you definitely, doing too much, I think.
I think
and also just being virally suppressed in your, in on your own, that's going to stop you from passing it on anyway. So,
and I think it's also like it says that many women just don't know about PrEP. So it's getting that message. How do you get a message to women about that? There's a drug called PrEP, which if you take can help you stop you from getting HIV and prevent it. So
you've got to go to the places where you find women.
Yes,
it's as simple as that. But people don't go that far, do they? Quite often, and so you get people that get left out. They don't get the good news.
Yeah, because GPs, that's where it needs to be given out. GPs, pharmacies, I think it says in this article that's where it needs to be given out. Like the COVID jab you get the flu jab every year.
So family planning centres.
Places where people will go every day.
Libraries.
Well, why not? HIV testing.
Hairdressers.
Hairdressers would be a great place to have a PrEP machine or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's all known that, you know, traditionally barbers used to say, "Oh, we'd like something for the weekend, sir," and then offer the gentleman a condom.
Why not offer them a PrEP kit?
And why not even while they're at it a finger prick test for HIV?
I mean, there is a thing where you can you can bombard people too much with it, and they don't want some, you have to...
It's got
to
be at people's own pace that they're receiving the information.
Yeah, it's constantly at you all the time. People just shut down with it. So it's just trying to get into that mindset of who's not listening, who's not getting the advice or the information.
Yeah.
I bet you a lot of women would probably want tech prep if they knew it was... Mm. It was
it's difficult for us to say without Sue Heary. Not that Sue can speak for all women, but listeners, if you've got an idea, dear, please let us know, and we'd love to hear your views.
HIVhour@gmail.com.
Indeed. Is it time for another song?
I think it is, yes.
Yeah. This one, what should we have? I think this is a classic from the 1980s. This is Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Oh, fabulous.
We will find you acting on your face.
So welcome back to the HIV Hour. That was Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. You know, I didn't used to like that song, but I've got this mix, I've got this dance mix of it, and it's kind of changed my mind about it. I think Tiesto does it, and it's it's kind of, it's a really good mix of it. It's really good. So it's kind of relived, made me feel
It is a great song.
Just to say that if you are interested in taking PrEP, just contact your sexual health provider, and obviously they will... Or GP, I mean, GPs will probably will direct you in the right place, won't they? Yeah. And yeah, so do check it out if you're interested, because it's such an amazing drug, really, to
it
take.
It is. Well, it can prevent HIV.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So I've got another another bit of news, so I'm just moving my head to pick up the thing. This is, so you know, about opt-out testing, we've talked about that on the show before, haven't we, David?
Yeah, we mentioned it, about Elton John mentioned it, didn't he, about the, you know, hundreds have been found, haven't they, in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I've just got this from the online today. So this is a new research of life-saving HIV testing programme that's happened about opt-out testing. So the criteria is the new £20 million National Institute Health Research Project, which will help to end new transmissions by within England by 2030. Undiagnosed HIV, hepatitis B and C will be picked up in new testing programmes in 46 more emergency departments in 32 high HIV prevalence areas of England. So I think they were already in high prevalence areas, weren't they? I think Brighton was one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And now they're going to try to expand that to 46 more. Expansion comes after successive schemes in extremely high prevalence areas of HIV, which identified almost 4,000 people with a blood-borne virus, which is BBV. So I'll be mentioning BBV later.
Right.
Blood-borne virus since April 2022.
Right.
So, you know, it shows you that it's working, and it's kind of finding people...
Yeah. I mean, the one way to stop the spread of HIV is that everybody should be tested.
As we said earlier, having PrEP in.
Yeah. And you can't physically test everyone that comes into the country, you know.
No.
Or, you know, you get on a plane and everyone gets a little finger prick test. But, you know, as far as you can, as many people done. And to try and normalise it, a bit like going to the dentist, you know. So when you go to the barbers or the hairdressers, would you like an HIV test? Oh, well, yes, please, or no, thank you, I've not been very busy, or...
It beats what you're doing for your hair, your holidays this year, isn't it?
It does,
So the new research project, which evaluates an expansion of the hugely successful opt-out testing programme, will have new sites across England. They've been announced... They were announced on the 29th of November. Mm. Given the success, so backed by £20 million of NIHR funding, the research will evaluate the testing programme in the 46 new sites across England. Mm. So it's all good stuff, really. It's all gearing towards...
Towards the 2030 targets, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, if we all sort of make that little bit extra effort, we can, you know, end AIDS and new HIV infections.
So the expansion of the program will identify an estimated 4,500 people living with undiagnosed HIV,
really?
Preventing new transmissions and saving more lives through testing.
Of course.
People's blood already being taken in emergency departments. To me, that's a non-brainer. But that's just my...
It saves money. It saves the country money. It saves the NHS money, doesn't it? You know, every person that is tested doesn't... pass it on.
Yeah.
They get into treatment.
And also, you know, with hepatitis C and B as well. So,
of course, yeah.
So it's not just HIV.
And that also helps to destigmatise it a little bit as well, because it's always testing for all these diseases rather than just making a big thing about this is HIV test. It's the others as well. Yeah. In fact, in the news this week was the government have voted to set up a new fund to help compensate people that were acquired... HIV and Hep C and other BBVs through the contaminated blood products in the 1980s.
I mean, that's been an ongoing thing for years, hasn't it? I mean,
they've been waiting for compensation for a long time. Yeah. Some of them many of them have died. Some of them have struggled to get a mortgage or, you know, had long-term health conditions. So it's long overdue.
Yeah, we've had Mark Ward on, who's an advocate for haemophiliacs and that journey and challenge. So he came on a while ago. So it'd be probably good to have him back on, actually.
It'd be like nice to hear that. It'd be lovely to meet people with different experiences and different
Yeah, absolutely.
Points of view. Yeah.
I'll just I'll just give you some stats about the opt-out testing. So the last 18 months of the opt-out testing program, there was 33 emergency departments who conducted the tests, which was just under 1.5 million HIV tests, just under 1 million hepatitis C tests, and just over 700,000 hepatitis tests, speed tests. And that's increasing the number of more tests. I'll try to explain this. 934 people living with HIV were identified. So 2,206 people living with the hepatitis B. When this happens, you can pass them on to the right care, can't you?
The care pathways. I believe some people have been diagnosed and having been diagnosed previously, but they've just been lost in the system. They've fallen through the gap through, you know, their lifestyle, you know, through no fault of their own. They might be homeless and they're not engaged with clinical services. So these people have been found again, and you know their lives have been prolonged really by getting back onto and into treatment and into care.
And so outside of the BBV, which is the blood-borne virus, I kind of talk about that one, opt-out test, progress is also being made. There are fewer people living with undiagnosed HIV as a result of effective treatments.
Yeah.
It is possible to live a long and healthy life with HIV. Most people with HIV diagnosis are receiving world-class treatment, making it detectable.
Yeah.
So we are heading towards that amazing goal, aren't we?
Yeah, we're on the way.
We're on the way.
We are.
We're on the way. Sounds like a song. Anyway, let's move on. You've got the story quickly, haven't you?
Yes. So this has been curated by the lovely Josh.
Yes.
So this is an article from POS magazine from the 4th of December, so it's very, very recent. So this is about the decriminalisation of homosexuality and how it fuels HIV progress. So it's a new report by Global Groups show that the tide has turned. Over the past year, a chorus of media headlines have captured the escalating backlash of anti-gay legislation and attacks against LGBTQ individuals in Uganda and other parts of Africa. While in the United States, some 600 anti-gay bills have been introduced this year alone. That's why the discovery that a far greater majority of countries, indeed two-thirds of the world, have decriminalised same-sex relationships, it comes as a welcome news and rather a surprise. These nations have also reaped significant economic, health and social gains by doing so. So as HIV activists have long argued, decriminalisation of homosexuality is a weapon against HIV. And this good news came from a October 23 study of same-sex decriminalisation in 194 countries and its impact on HIV targets, titled Progress and Peril, HIV and the Global Decriminalisation of Same-Sex. And it showed that 129 of 194 countries surveyed do not criminalise same-sex relationships. And these include 13 countries that decriminalised homosexuality over the past 5 years and saw their pandemic fighting capacity increase. In 2022 alone, four countries, that is Singapore, Barbados, St. Kitts and Nevis, and Antigua and Barbuda, decriminalised consensual same-sex sexuality. And the current picture marks a remarkable reversal from the first days of AIDS, when most countries criminalised homosexuality.
We're always looking at, you know, these countries that don't, which is really important, but also it's looking at the positive side that there are other countries that are in the way.
Yeah, I mean, if you criminalise certain behaviours, you push people underground, so they hide because for fear of prosecution.
Yeah,
it's like with the criminalisation of HIV transmission.
But these countries that are decriminalising this and carrying this on is such a it's to be shouted about as well, and to be acknowledged as well as those countries that are just not toeing the line and discriminating.
Serious stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. But you know.
Yeah. Should we lighten the mood?
Yes, let's.
Song? So
yes, we're going to.
Speaking of hard things, let's play "Harden My Heart."
Maybe we should have that one.
Or the Fish.
That doesn't sound right. But anyway, it's a good song.
Yeah.
Well, that was "Harden Your Heart," which it's a good song actually. It's very country-fied.
Yeah.
Who sings it again, David? Tell
that was by Quarterflash.
Yeah, funny enough, yeah, Quarter Flash.
Yeah. Hmm. Where are they from, then?
I don't know. I just joined, just browsing the the websites and Spotify, yeah. and then that, yeah. you think, oh, that sounds good, and yeah. it comes up.
Yeah, it sounds a bit 80s. We've got a bit of an 80s theme going on with Trevor Horn and Everyone Wants to Rule the World.
Yes.
I don't. Far too complicated.
No, I don't think I would. No, it's, no. Oh, God, I just want to lie down. And just,
I wouldn't mind being second in command.
Coronation Street. Yeah. Old Coronation Street.
So, community news. Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, we were meant to have Gary in, weren't we? Gary Pargeter was meant to come in.
From Lunch Positive. Yeah,
yeah. For, yeah. from Lunch Positive for our World AIDS Day show. But unfortunately, because I was ill and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. yeah
so we're going to just, we're going to get him on the show again soon.
Yeah.
Maybe in the new year.
Yeah.
But we're just going to go through some of his Lunch Positive's projects and what's available.
Yeah, yeah. So should we take one each? We'll go. And so I mean, it's yeah, it's quite a busy charity, as well. You know, it's sort of Brighton born. It was, sort of, I think they'll be celebrating their 15-year anniversary.
Amazing, well done.
Soon. Yeah. I don't know if it's this year or next year or anyway, it's coming up soon. So for people that don't know, Lunch Positive is it started doing a weekly lunch for people living with HIV on a Friday afternoon. Because for some people, you know, especially living alone, they you know they weren't really cooking or looking after themselves very well. And that the nutrition was an issue. Obviously, nutrition is very important to live a healthy lifestyle with HIV. And obviously, people felt also isolated. And meeting other people living with HIV is a difficult thing. So having that space in a central venue in Brighton is really valuable, and it's been going from strength to strength.
So we'll go through. So we should just go through some of the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Do.
So one of the main ones that's been going from start really is it's the Friday Lunch Club and dropping.
Yeah,
so that's every Friday. Mm-hmm. A welcome and inclusive HIV lunch club, providing a safe space to meet others living with HIV, like you were just saying. The lunch club also hosts regular visits of support workers. So I know that Terence Higgins has been, and Beacon have been.
Just people from the council, people from the nursing team,
advice and assistance.
Yeah, yeah.
You can have coffee. There's a dining areas. It's over two floors. So we'll say it's a lot of these things that the Dorset Gardens, which is Methodist Church, which is in Brighton, Dorset Gardens.
Yeah, which is very central.
The lunch club is doors open at 12, lunch at 1. Mm-hmm. No charge for lunch, but there's always a donation if you want to put that in.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to do one, aren't you, David?
Yeah. I mean, and it's a three-course meal, so you get you get like a starter where it'd be soup or a little side salad, and then a main course. There's always a vegetarian option, and a pudding, and coffee, And it used to be, I think they used to charge £1.50. I mean, it's a bargain. So they also do a monthly supper group, and this is for the over 50s, obviously people that experience more loneliness and isolation than younger people. And this is on the second Wednesday of every month, and it's a relaxed peer-led evening, social gathering, sharing an enjoyable supper. So based along similar lines as the Friday lunch, but it's, say, it's once a month, and the tables are in a slightly different arrangement, and it's a quieter surroundings, but I wouldn't say more civilised, that's the wrong word.
Is it for over 50s, though?
It is for over 50s,
yeah. We've been a couple of times, we have been with you for a while, but yeah, it's a more intimate affair, isn't it?
I think so, yeah, it is, because there are, I mean, over half of people living with HIV in Brighton and Hove are over 50 now, yeah.
So also they do a befriending and buddying. We'll just go through these quite quickly, really.
Yeah.
Befriending and buddying, which matches people who maybe want to befriend or have someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
That's them. A positive time wellbeing programme. That's a new one, isn't it?
Yes.
That's an enjoyable year-round programme to improve your wellbeing.
Mm-hmm.
It includes a wide range of trips and outings, nature walks, leisure activities, visits, events and a place of interest. I think you just have to go on the website and sign up.
Yeah, yeah. I think they have a Facebook page as well. Just search for Lunch.
Yeah, we'll give that. We'll give that at the end.
Official website as
well. Yeah. What else? Yeah. Is
so also they have they're sort of outreaching into more rural areas. So Eastbourne and Hastings have a social group now. And that's on the first Saturday of every month in Hastings, regularly throughout the year. So check their social media pages and their website for details of those. And these are safe space gatherings where you can share an enjoyable meal, meet friends and get peer support. And these groups are for everybody in East Sussex living outside Brighton and Hove. There's also a women's group, which is a regular peer-led social meetup and with well-being activities, and that's open to all women living with HIV in Sussex. That's East and West Sussex.
Brilliant.
And there's a walk and talk therapy, short, accessible walks with trained psychotherapists who provide a supportive listening ear. These walks are along the seafront or in town centre green spaces, so level ground, not too difficult to walk. Also drawing on the experiences of being outdoors with nature, and where appropriate, the psychotherapist can signpost to other services. And there's also Lunch Positive offer a pantry and food bank where groceries and food are available to take away at the lunch club and supper group meetings. Anyone who needs extra supplies, certainly valuable with the cost of living crisis. That's happening at the moment, and food parcels are available from the HIV food bank. And they also do home outreach with groceries and cooked food available to people who have recently returned home.
Wow.
So a very busy charity, and well deserving of their Queen's Award for voluntary service.
But also what I've got to say is one of their volunteers got an award as well, Phil Gale, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it'd be great. I was going to contact Phil, actually, hopefully. Yeah. But I think one of their volunteers has got an award, so I have to say thank you.
It would be nice to hear the perspective of a volunteer or a member of staff, because I know Lunch Positive employs other members of staff now, so it would be nice to have them come on board as well.
Yeah.
Come on the show and talk about the individual projects within Lunch Positive that they're doing.
Just give the details for Lunch Positive. How do people get
in contact? So the website is www.lunchpositive.org, and you can email them at hello@lunchpositive.org and just search Facebook for that. Facebook page where they sometimes updated a little bit more frequently. We've got a new year ahead, and what are we doing?
Well, we've been gone through a bit of a change. We're all going through a change. I'm definitely going through a change.
The menopause.
I don't know what kind of change I'm going through, but as a show, we're developing and moving forward, and we've got some money given to us by the Brighton Rainbow Fund to upgrade our show and to get a logo and just website and start to
rebranding,
that's the word.
Outreaching and meeting our listeners out where they in their natural habitat.
And also, we were talking, David, weren't we, today about the fact that to get the message out there, you have to be out there, and because we're volunteers, we don't have much finance to do these things, but to go into places where we aren't reached. I don't think a lot of people know about the show.
No, they don't. No,
a lot of people do, and that's brilliant.
When they find out a bit, they are pleasantly surprised. We get new listeners all the time. They say, "Oh, that was really good."
And I think next year we're going to do a little bit of change. We might have some time off to just do a bit of rebranding, maybe at the beginning of a year. So we're going to do 3 shows up to Christmas. That's our plan anyway. So hopefully we're going to have everyone in on the last one.
Which would be
great.
And listeners, if you've got any ideas of what you'd like us to cover next year, please do email us at hivhour@gmail.com.
That's the one. It gets so confusing with all these ats and ins and underscores and ins and outs. Go on about it. Some blue in the face. But it'd be really good to get people's opinions on it. And also just thank you for listening to us, and thank you for keeping listening. We are a bit mad sometimes, especially when me and David are in the studio.
we love you all.
Yeah, we do. Thank you for listening. We're going to carry on, but we're just going to develop it a little bit and just carry on what we're doing. And also we're trying to think of getting guest presenters on just for the day, for the show. So that's something we're going to look into and start promoting.
Thank you, Josh. Let's play out with a song. So we are now going to be listening to Future Love Paradise by Seal.